Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
To our friends across the pond, as they say. A very historic day for our cousins over in Great Britain. Good Friday morning, everybody. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am, of course, your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today. TGIF people, the weekend, as always, when we are gathered here today, is upon us. And wow. If I said we got a lot to get to today, that would be an understatement. We absolutely do. As usual, I got a huge stack here, and I'm not going to get it all in, but I will get in as much as we can today. Of course, major news, like I said, coming from our cousins over in Great Britain, that they voted by a pretty fair margin yesterday. I believe the margin was 48% to 51% in favor of Great Britain leaving the European Union. And, you know, I don't know how many Americans have been following this very closely. I have to admit, I have not myself followed it all that closely. It really kind of came down to the last few days. And it was pretty neck and neck right up to the end. It looks like it could go either way. And even I think early yesterday, that it looked as though the movement to remain in the European Union, that it looked as though that faction was going to win. But later on yesterday, the numbers kind of took a turn the British people overwhelmingly, a fairly good margin, voted to for Great Britain to leave the European Union. And, you know, there's going to be a theme today, the things that we're talking about here. And sometimes I think that when you talk about things being interconnected, all things being interconnected and the world being a much smaller place and things like that, it kind of sounds all hippie and new agey. But in this case, it really is interconnected, because a lot of what drove this vote for Great Britain to exit the European Union, a lot of the reasons and a lot of the feeling, a lot of the idea behind it is very, very similar to things that are going on right here in our own country. And I have the report here from the New York Times. And like I said, everybody, I think even a lot of British people, as they woke up this morning and heard the news that this referendum had gone forth, that they were going to leave the European Union, were very surprised by it. And here is the numbers here. The margin was 52% to 48% in favor of leaving. more than 17.4 million people voted, and actually 17.4 million people voted to sever ties with the European Union. About 16.1 million voted to remain. As this is happening, British Prime Minister David Cameron has announced his resignation. He was in favor of staying in the European Union, and the quote that I have here from Prime Minister Cameron is, quote, "I will do everything I can, Prime Minister, to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months, but I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination." And I don't know about anybody else, but I saw just a glimpse of this announcement from David Cameron. And what I saw what I saw from him was a man who clearly loves his country. He was not in favor of this. He was campaigning very hard for Great Britain to remain in the European Union. But he is he's seen the writing on the wall. He has seen the vote of the British people, and he's respecting that vote. And you know, whether or not the majority of them, I don't know what his poll numbers on his popularity or anything are, but so I don't know whether or not how many of the British people are in favor of him stepping down over this, but I think that he is clearly a man of principle, and a man, like I said, a man who loves his country and just wants to make sure that it is being steered in the right direction by the right person or people. And so I think you have to give David Cameron some props here where props might be due, and that it's a gutsy move, and it's kind of a classy move. And, you know, speaking of gutsy moves, that it's apparently our, like I said, our friends over on the other side of the pond apparently have a little bit more, well, since Conservative Cauldron is a family show, our friends over in Great Britain are showing a great deal more of, shall we say, testicular fortitude than we have for quite a while over here in this country. And the leader of this movement for Great Britain to exit the European Union is a man by the name of Nigel Farage, F-A-R-A-G-E, I'm probably butchering his name. He is the leader of the UK Independence Party, one of the primary forces behind this push, and came out and greeted supporters a little after 4 a.m., I guess, UK time. And but, you know, this is not going to be without its problems, because late last night, early this morning, as all of the European economic markets opened, the European stock markets, the Nikkei in Japan, as all these economic engines got going for the day, on the other side of the world, or like I said, late last night, early this morning, there was some really big drop. There was some really big fallout economically from this decision. And even here in the United States, I think the earliest report that I saw was that the stock market is down this morning about 300 points. It could be more than that. I may have seen this was a little bit earlier. It could be different numbers now, but and there was a lot of people who were, including, I think, David Cameron, there were a lot of people who were warning against this. And I think that maybe that while people in the know, people who are minds that follow the world economy, that they probably foresaw this as a possible problem should this referendum go forth. I don't think that I think it's a temporary panic attack, if you will. I saw Stuart Varney, who as Martha McCallum was interviewing him this morning on Fox News, even said herself, Stuart Varney is in a unique position, having been born a native British citizen and coming here and becoming an American citizen. It's basically what he also echoed as well, was that he thought that it was something that was purely temporary, that people in the know, the economic minds in the know, expected this, but that it is going to be something that's temporary, and that all of the not just our own markets, but all of the European markets, the Nikkei, things like that it is going to bounce back. And one of the other things too is that, and this actually was voted on a few years ago, I think, in the UK, and that is that I don't know if I have it here. There was a breakdown of exactly how the vote went in all the areas of Great Britain, and one of the places that this was not popular was in Scotland. And I don't know if anybody remembers, a few years ago, there was a vote in Scotland on whether or not to become independent of Great Britain, and that was voted down. I'm going to say 2013, maybe, that took place. And but there's thought now that this may come up again. And there's a quote here in the New York Times from Nicola Sturgeon. She is the her title is Scotland's first minister. I guess it's kind of like a prime minister, something like that. But the quote from Nicola Sturgeon here is, quote, I think an independence referendum is now highly likely. She said it would be, quote, democratically unacceptable for Scotland to be pushed out of the European Union when a majority of Scots want to stay in. There was also a quote here from a Labour Party leader who talked about it being a horrible, terrible day for Britain, and it was a horrible, terrible thing. And for anybody who's not familiar, and I'm not totally familiar with British politics myself, but that the Labour Party is kind of it's the British version of Democrats, basically. And he said, like I said, he went on to talk about it was a horrible thing and horrible for Europe and horrible for Britain. Well, if one of the Labour Party guys is saying that, chances are it's probably a good thing. But German Chancellor Angela Merkel also came out and said that, quote, today marks a turning point for Europe. It is a turning point for the European unification process. And, excuse me, coming from Angela Merkel, that's interesting, because this is a woman who has allowed her nation to be overrun with immigrants from Middle Eastern countries. And she has a lot of her own citizens who are very upset by this, and her own political future could be in jeopardy. A name being batted about, someone who may wind up being David Cameron's successor, is Boris Johnson. He is former mayor of London, and he was one of the leaders of this Leave the European Union campaign. He praised David Cameron as an extraordinary politician and said that he was sad to see him go. And, of course, Great Britain is the first of European nations to leave the European Union. But, you know, again, like I was saying, that one of the things here, one of the big things that was driving this vote, and there was a lot of things. It was economic, social, political, a combination of things. And that is that, like I said, the British people are seeing a huge influx of immigrants from European countries, from Middle Eastern countries. And one of the main selling points that the people who were in favor of leaving the European Union were talking about, that all of these huge influx of immigrants are coming into the country. They're coming in from Turkey, they're coming in from Syria and Iraq, and Turkey, incidentally, is would like to become a member of the European Union. And but one of the things that they were talking about was this influx of immigrants. And again, things are related today. Things are interconnected today, because you're seeing this influx of Middle Eastern immigrants into Great Britain, and they have no intention of assimilating into British society. Now, if you and I decide that we want to immigrate to Great Britain, we want to keep our American citizenship, but we want to go and we want to live in Great Britain. Well, is it safe to assume that if you or I or any one of us want to immigrate, go to live in Great Britain, that our fellow British citizens, the people that we live around, that we work around, is it not a reasonable expectation of them to expect us to assimilate into British society, to learn the language, to contribute to economically to society by getting a job, to just basically assimilating into British life, into British society? That's not a unreasonable expectation. But these people aren't doing that. They're coming in and they're not assimilating. They're not blending in to British society. They want to take over. They want to control it. We hear over and over again about hordes of immigrants attacking people, attacking British citizens, attacking British women. They're attacking them for religious purposes. They're sexually assaulting British women. You hear these stories over and over again. There are certain areas in London where if you are not a Muslim, you probably shouldn't go there. And, you know, every city is going to have good areas and bad areas, and London is no different. It's going to have their good neighborhoods and bad neighborhoods. But if you are a British citizen and you are being told, don't go into this neighborhood or don't go into that neighborhood unless you are a Muslim, are you kidding me? I'm a British citizen. By law, I should be able to go anywhere in this country that I want to go. And it's this kind of thing. It's the political correctness of it all. The British people have no desire to be told what to do and how to do it by some bunch of bureaucratic Euroweenies over in Brussels telling them what to do in Great Britain and how to do it. They're tired of all that. They're fed up with all of that. And for anybody who can't see the correlation there between a good part of the reason why this vote took place and why it passed and why Donald Trump in this country is where he is, I hope I'm right about this. It seems as though there is beginning to be a global pushback of all of this, multiculturalism, of all of the political correctness. If you don't want hordes and hordes of Middle Eastern immigrants coming into your country, well, that just means you're a racist, or that just means you're a xenophobe. No, it doesn't. What it means is that the British people want to remain, they want to keep their British culture. And it's a good portion, again, it's a good portion of it's a good example. That's the wrong word. Good example of what's going on here is that the American people feel like our basic American culture is slipping away. No reasonable person has a problem with immigration. What we want is legal immigration, and we want those legal immigrants to want to come here to become Americans. They have to want to become Americans. They have to learn the language. They have to get a job. They have to assimilate and become part of American culture and American society. So I'm hoping that this is the beginning of something. I'm hoping, and I think a lot of other people are too, hoping that this is the beginning of not just a movement either in Britain or in the United States, but perhaps worldwide, where people want to, you can say whatever you want about the phrase "take your country back," but that's basically what they want, and that was what the British people, what the Leave the European Union campaign basically was saying: it's time to take control, it's time to take back your country, And for all Americans who are watching this and seeing how similar it is to what's going on here, it's the same sentiment. There's no racism, there's no xenophobe, there's no anti-Muslim, well, there may be a little here and there. But it's basically we want our American culture, we want to take, when they say that, say I want to take our country back, it means that we want to take back and keep our American culture. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting in the next few weeks and months to see what happens here. And see what the aftermath of this vote holds, not just in Great Britain, but also here in the United States and worldwide. I'm long overdue for a break, so I'm going to take it now. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF. I have got so much more to get to that, oh my God, I could use a whole nother hour, but don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
Here we are. We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. TGIF people, the weekend is upon us. It's still, it's still pretty steamy here in St. Louis. Hope you're keeping cool wherever you are. And very quickly before I go on, because like I said, I've got such a ton of stuff here. We are as of this coming Monday, the 27th of June, we are a week away from the launching of Red Nation Rising Radio Network. And for anybody who's listened the past couple weeks, we are Internet Conservative Cauldron. It's Friday. Internet Conservative Radio Network.com. There, I said it. We are merging, for lack of a better way to put it. Maybe that's the right word. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to use it. We are coming together with Red Nation Rising Radio Network, and we are, well, in the words of a great philosopher, it's going to be huge. We are going to have a ton of shows. We're going to have two separate 24-hour live streams. We're going to, oh my God, it's go to the website, rednationrising.us, I believe, is the website. You can also go to icrn.com. You can find out all the particulars, but you can, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have so many great shows for you to listen to. We're going to have Wayne Dupree. We're going to have the Vetoes. We're going to have Gene Berardelli and Behind Enemy Lines, Daniel Stafford and the Stafford Voice. It would take me the rest of the hour to go on, but it is going to be huge, and it's going to be a really great time. And Conservative Cauldron Radio is extremely ecstatic, excited to be a part of this. It is, I got a good feeling about it. It's going to be a really cool thing to happen. We will be one of the largest, if not the largest, conservative internet radio networks in the nation. So please check it out. Starting on July 4th is when we are up and going and ready to go, and it's when we will be on Red Nation Rising Radio Network.com, July 4th, 2016. Check it out. But like I said today at the top of the show, all the things that are going on in Great Britain there's a lot of similarity and a lot of connectedness to a lot of things that are going on here in the United States. And one of the things also that took place, this was yesterday, this is a report from Reuters, that the Supreme Court said that you cannot, that the millions of immigrants who are here in this country illegally, it is unconstitutional to give them work permits in order to keep them from shielding them from deportation, basically. It leaves intact a ruling from a lower court on this idea. And this was an idea that President Obama was greatly in favor of and greatly pushed. So this was really kind of a big blow to him and his administration. The court, which of course now is split evenly 4-4 with the passing of Antonin Scalia earlier this year, of course was divided along ideological lines. And there was some oral arguments on April 18th. This case actually was brought up in a lower court by the state of Texas. The state of Texas challenged this plan, and they were backed up by 26 other states. They sued to block President Obama's executive action on, this was an executive action on immigration, and it did what he usually does. He bypassed Congress because he thinks that that is when things don't go his way, that's what he thinks that he is allowed to do, is bypass Congress. And so the Supreme Court said basically, well, no, not so much. And what happened here is that, again, this is a report from Reuters. Obama's plan was tailored to let roughly 4 million people, those who have lived here illegally in the United States since at least 2010, who have no criminal record but have children who are American-born citizens or lawful permanent residents, to get into a program that shields them from deportation and supplies them work permits. The court did not issue a ruling on the merits of the main legal question. Therefore, its action set no legal precedent to bind future presidents. The decision indicates that any major immigration policy change that would address the long-term situation of the estimated 11 million people in the country illegally would have to be enacted by Congress. There's a thought. Let's go through Congress and enact any legislation pertaining to these 11 million people who are here illegally, not an executive order. What a concept. Let's get Congress involved. So, of course, that that greatly upset the president, and his response to all of this was, of course, to blame Republicans, because we have somehow blocked any and all legislation for what they call comprehensive immigration reform. Well, you know, when you hear that phrase, and I'm using air quotes, big air quotes, comprehensive immigration reform, that's code. That's code for amnesty. That's code. It's liberal Democrat code speak for, let's just let 11 million people just stay here. We'll get out our magic wand and wave it over them and say, voila, you're all now citizens. Because what that does, when liberals get out their magic wand, and trust me, I really have nothing against magic wands, you know, but when liberals get out their magic wand, it's a whole different magic wand than maybe perhaps one that I have. But what they do is they want to wave it over all these 11 million people and say, you're now citizens. And what that does, when they say, voila, hallelujah, you're all now citizens, a.k.a. you're all now voters. You're all able to vote. And because we, the Democrats, we the liberals, have made you, just by virtue of saying so, by virtue of decree, that we have said, hear ye, you are all now American citizens, you can vote. And so we know that because we have issued this decree, that you will vote for us. And so that's the primary, it's the agenda here. That's what's going on, is that Democrats are trying to establish a permanent voter base, because they figure that if they can somehow get all of these 11 million people who are here illegally, if they can somehow maneuver their way around the system so that they can get them, so that they can become registered voters, they figure that all of these people are just going to immediately vote for Democrats. And you know what? Statistics bear that out. The majority of Supreme Court smacked this back and said, wait a flipping second. And they struck that down. So, you know, they will, I guess they will have to, at least for this election cycle, they will have to resort to the usual dead people voting and vote early, vote often, especially in Chicago, and all of the things that they, have used, prior to now. And the other thing that the Supreme Court upheld yesterday was the use of affirmative action and racial quotas at universities. And this was based on a case that was brought by a white woman who was attempting to get into the University of Texas. And she was denied admission based on racial quotas that the university was letting in minority students who did not have the grade point average, did not have the qualifications that she did, but they were being let in based on race. And what the court basically said was that the court ruled in a 4-3 decision, marking the second time, this is from Fox News, this report, marking the second time the court has affirmed the use of race in the admission process. The decision will make it easier for public university to justify compelling reasons for a limited use of race criteria in admissions. So what they're saying basically is that it cannot be the only criteria to use for someone to be admitted into a university, but that it can be used to a degree in certain cases. That three of the more conservative judges dissented from this decision. A couple of things here from this report. 8 states prohibit the use of race in public college admissions: Arizona, California, Florida, Michigan, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and Washington State. Let's see, what else do we have here? This is a quote from Justice Anthony Kennedy, and he said, quote, "Considerable deference is owed to a university in defining these intangible characteristics, like student body diversity, that are central to its identity and educational mission." So basically what has gone on here is that maybe not everyone, depending on who you are, not everyone is going to see it this way. But here's another quote before I go on here. This is from Justice Samuel Alito, and he said that he called the program discriminatory and questioned how it could be upheld. He went on to say, quote, "Even though UT has never provided any coherent explanation for its asserted need to discriminate on the basis of race, and even though UT's position relies on a series of unsupported and noxious racial assumptions, the majority concludes that UT has met its heavy burden. This conclusion is remarkable and remarkably wrong." That is a quote, again, from Justice Samuel Alito. So what basically has gone on here is that, and again, it could, based on who you are and what your life experience is, you can see things a number of different ways. And what's gone on here, you might say that they have, by virtue of this decision, that the Supreme Court has made it okay to discriminate against white people. That's possibly some people's opinion. I kind of think that there's still discrimination going on, but it's just been shifted. And again, it may go back to that idea that it's okay, depending on who you are, that it's okay to discriminate. And I don't think that this is the end of this. Usually people tend to think that any decision by the Supreme Court is the end of it, but you know, when you work hard, and I'm speaking here regardless of who you are, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, male, female, whatever it is, if you do the work in order to achieve that grade point average, and you engage in all of the other extracurricular activities that college admissions people look at, because they don't just look at grade point averages. Yeah, primarily that's what they do. And here in this case, traditionally, the University of Texas, they take the top 10% of students in their high school graduating classes. And that's 10%, period, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whoever they are, that top 10%, because those are the people that are doing the work. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you are doing the work and you are engaging in the extracurricular activities in high school, so because you know that in the clubs and the all the things that that people do in addition to keeping their grade point averages up, and those are all the things that college admissions people look at. If you're the one doing the work, regardless of who you are, is it really fair for someone else who has not done that work? It's academic socialism, basically. Someone else who has not done the work is sliding in and to a position that you have done the work to get into. You know, maybe it's not that cut and dried for some people. Maybe there are some gray areas. Maybe I'm simplifying a little bit, but it's as much as I hate to use this phrase, it is what it is. And even though it's kind of conventional wisdom that the Supreme Court is usually the last word on something, I don't think that this will be the last word on anything. The other thing here I want to get to quickly is that earlier this week, the Department of Justice released the transcript, the full transcript of the 911 calls from the Orlando shooter, the perpetrator of that horrific nightclub massacre that took place a few weeks ago in Orlando, Florida. And there is a guy. I have a great clip here, and if you go on to YouTube and search for Ami Horowitz, his first name, A-M-I, Ami Horowitz, H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z. He has a fantastic video there of interviews that he did with people in a Brooklyn, New York neighborhood on what they thought about this shooting. And I want to play the audio portion of this for you because it is – we were talking earlier about the British people voting to for Great Britain to leave the European Union and this massive influx of Middle Eastern immigrants taking over British society and taking over their traditional British culture is a good part of why a lot of people voted in favor of this. And we know from what we know in light of this terrible massacre, this shooting, that this guy had pledged allegiance to ISIS. He had pledged allegiance to the ISIS leader. There was obviously some radicalization involved. But take a listen to the people that Ami Horowitz interviewed here in Brooklyn, New York. And you know, if there are attacks going on in Brussels and Paris and even in Orlando and places here in this country, this might be part of the reason why. Let's take a listen.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm here in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. The terrorists who struck Orlando claimed allegiance to ISIS. So clearly, Islam played a role in his thinking. Right?
Play
a role in those attacks?
No, not at all.
I don't think it had much to do with Islam, to be honest.
Okay.
I think it was another situation of a lonely, deranged male.
You would say it's unfair to say that Islam played a role?
Yeah, really.
I don't think it's fair to say Islam played a role in this.
But I don't think it was an Islamic crime.
Okay. So you think it had nothing to do with Islam?
No.
I don't think it was a terrorist.
People are not evil.
Right.
This is ignorance.
Republicans or Islam, who would you blame more?
I think I have to put it more on the Republicans than Islam.
100% the Republicans.
Guns, Republicans, Islam.
Guns way more than Islam.
Okay.
Way more.
And if you're going to blame Islam, you got to blame all the religions. You can find
some Buddhist.
In the yoga community. Yes, you can find
really?
It. Really? Research your Buddhism.
Radical, those radical
it.
Yoga people.
I don't think that, you know, homophobia and Islam necessarily go hand in hand. Islam as a whole is a very peaceful, like, religion. It's a very peaceful people. Democracies in the Middle East which have more women elected than we do here in the U.S., right? More women elected to, like...
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just as peaceful as any other religion.
Christianity from the same kind of level? What was the last kind of Christian attack you could think of, you know, that was made in the name of Jesus or in the name of Christianity?
I can't really think of any, but...
Crusades.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, 15 years ago, a long time ago, but...
Some of that audio is a little hard to hear, but one of the last questions there that Ami Horace asked man on the street there was how many recent attacks by Christians on Muslims or people of other religions have you heard of? And all this guy could muster was crickets, the Crusades, which happened, 1,200, 1,300? Yeah, that was the only thing that he could muster were the Crusades. And that was even after prompting from Ami Horowitz. So that's what we're dealing with, people. That's that is the state of what we are dealing with right now in the United States, the level of denial and the level of, well, there's so many things that you could talk about with just that little two-minute clip. You can talk about brainwashing of the mainstream media. There's so many other avenues that you could talk about in relation to that clip. And we will definitely be doing that in the days and weeks to come, because unfortunately, if anybody thinks that it's going to begin and end with places like Orlando, you are sadly mistaken. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. I'm going to take another short break, and then we will wrap things up. Don't go anywhere. Still got lots to get to. I'll be right back.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to Fun, Exciting Oldies the Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while, a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the right now company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
Going to do a little bit of a lightning round here before we have to get out of here for the day. The latest poll numbers I have here from presidential poll numbers from Real Clear Politics. The RCP average has Hillary Clinton up right now today by 5.9 points. Rasmussen has Clinton up by 5. Reuters, Clinton by 10. CNN, ORC, Clinton by 5. Gravis, Clinton by 2. Monmouth, Clinton by 8. CNBC, Clinton by 5. Bloomberg, again, still has Hillary Clinton up by 12 points. CBS News, Clinton by 6. Fox News, Clinton by 3. Economist/YouGov, Clinton up by 3. But, again, it's early. Those numbers can change. And especially with things like what's going on over in Europe, I think that that may give Donald Trump a little bit of a boost. Also this week, we had the third of the six Baltimore police officers who were charged in the death of Freddie Gray that sparked all sorts of riots and destruction and damage in Baltimore. When was that? Last year. Marilyn Mosby, the prosecutor in this case, well, she's 0 for 3. And Caesar Goodson, who was the driver of the van in which 25-year-old Freddie Gray was riding in, he has been acquitted of all charges. This is a report from the Associated Press. The judge, Barry Williams, basically said there's not enough evidence here. There's not enough there to convict this person. All of the officers but Caesar Goodson have filed defamation lawsuits against Baltimore State's attorney, again, Marilyn Mosby, who is 0 for 3, and Major Sam Kojin of the Sheriff's Office, who signed the charging documents. The officers claim criminal charges amounted to false and damaging information. From Breitbart, Americans trust Donald Trump to keep America safe more than former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, despite repeated assertions that from Democrats that she is one of the most qualified candidates. This was from a Morning Consult poll, shows that 41% of Americans believe that Trump would do a better job of keeping the country safe, while only 37% favored Hillary Clinton, 22% they had no opinion. Trump's boost comes from independent voters, as 38% say they trust Trump, while only 26% favor Clinton. And again, I think with things like what has taken place over in the UK, could give Donald Trump a little bit of a boost. I think these numbers are going to change. And we will see what happens there. But very quickly here, on a lighter note, we'll end on a light note. A 15-year-old Alabama girl had to be rescued by firefighters after her head got stuck inside a Barney dinosaur costume. The teen, Darby Reisner, had put on the Barney head prank among friends on Sunday night. She was trapped inside for 45 minutes after it accidentally slipped over her shoulders. AL.com reports, "The head was closing in on me," she told the news outlet. "I kind of gasped in fear, like, oh no, what did I do?" Friends tried freeing her by rubbing Vaseline on her arms, but the effort failed. They then drove her to their local fire station, where firefighters also tried yanking it off her head. She's so little that when they lifted the head, it lifted her off the ground, so they had to hold down her feet, her mother, Audrey Shannon, told AL.com. And with the Vaseline on her arms, they said it was like trying to wrestle a greased pig. The firefighters then made, quote, release cuts to the back of the costume head to relieve pressure and pulled it off Darby's head, according to AL.com. You know, I'm not a parent, so I am not as in the know on the whole Barney thing as people who are parents are, but I from what I've heard, I've always heard that Barney is, Barney's creepy, Barney's weird. But so yeah, moral of the story, don't put Barney heads on yourself because, it's not pretty. It doesn't end well and bad things can happen. With that, I am out of here. Everyone have a fabulous weekend. If it is silly hot where you are, please keep cool. You can find me at conservativecauldron.blogspot.com, a little regional action there right now if you want to read about that. New stuff going up hopefully soon on politichicks.com. Just waiting for a little tidbit to get posted. But please go, politichicks.com. It'll be there. And, of course, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Becky Noble. And, of course, on Twitter, I am at Patriot Witch. Everyone, thank you for chilling with me today. Have a fabulous weekend, and I will see you next time.